drum roll. I haven't got ECPO still in the band thing, but a drum roll, please. Thank you. It's just 24 sleeps to Christmas Day. Is that good? There are a few people who are excited. Just one, okay. The parents are probably groaning. I quite like it, but one vital aspect of offering in this season is so often missed in our day. In the midst of the holiday preparations, shopping, lights, decorations, lantern making, parades, joyful carols, it's this. Advent is a season of waiting. Whereas Lent as a season encourages a kind of whole life consecration, anticipating the marking of Jesus' final week, and especially his sacrificial death for us on Good Friday, and his victorious resurrection for us on Easter Sunday. But Advent's particular note is one of patient, expectant waiting. A period for reflection and preparation. Not just of gifts and turkey and crackers and partying, yay, but a season where we can take time to look back at the year that was and bring ourselves before God in order for him to bring us in order with his perfect will in preparing for the year ahead. To pray for the Holy Spirit to renew his work in conforming us into the image of Christ. And as Kai told us last Sunday evening, today, this day, the 1st of December, is the first day of the new church year. So happy new year, everybody! We don't know now what is to come. I didn't know last year what was going to come in this year. None of us did, and none of us know quite what is to come in the year ahead. What does God have in store for us as we enter in? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what we read and what we know so well in Psalm 23. One thing is for sure. This statement from the Psalms is true. Whatever circumstances happen to us, or we cause, God's goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we put our trust in him, when we surrender our lives to him, we will know that truth in our lives more and more. How can we prepare for the unexpected? As we heard read, I got that all the wrong way around. I just wanted to tell you how in the second 2 weeks of Advent, we start looking towards the birth of Jesus, to the baby being born, laid in a manger, not a cozy cot, with animals as his companions, real ones. Not little bunny rabbits and fluffy teddies. However, during the first 2 weeks of Advent, we're encouraged as church to look towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to pray before I continue. Open our hearts, Lord, and make us ready. Amen. I was talking with a man yesterday evening, briefly. He's a man that I've known for a few years. I've not known him very well, but I've seen him, the hand of God touching him and changing him progressively, steady increments. But what I heard from him yesterday was wonderful. As the light of Jesus shone from his eyes, there was that glory on him. It was beautiful. He told me about how he'd fairly recently gone on a pilgrimage. He went up a mountain on this pilgrimage. Actually, the pilgrimage, I can't remember where it is exactly, but basically it is up a mountain. And there he had an encounter that impacted him so much that when he came down the mountain, he was a changed man. His words to me were, "I didn't expect that. God does the unexpected, doesn't he? I had to agree. God does the unexpected. Or he does what we sometimes do expect or anticipate, but not in the way that we predicted it. And as I alluded to last week when talking about prayer, what is often called unexpected prayer in particular, God doesn't perform the way that we would like him to. He's not a performer or a follower of our rules and restricted understanding. No, he is God, the author and creation, the author of creation. And when he moves in power, often we are taken completely by surprise. That how do we prepare ourselves for the unexpected? This guy I was talking to was taken completely by surprise. But he had been preparing himself for what his heart was longing for and his body had been craving for a very long time. He didn't expect an encounter, but he had been longing for one. It wasn't as he'd thought it would be, and God exceeded his expectations 100-fold, probably more than that. Are you longing today for an encounter with the Lord that changes you? Mary was expectantly waiting. A friend sent me this picture in his Advent email last week. I love it. Oh, I've actually put expectantly over the face. There's such a joy in that face, that expectation. And the baby, John the Baptist, leapt in Elizabeth's womb. Great expectation. A mother-to-be goes through some very obvious body changes as she carries the child developing in her womb. But there are many other ways that parents prepare. We can get rid of that now. My daughter and son-in-law got rid of their very large and boisterous dog. Great way of preparing. And what else is there? Some people change their car to a more baby-friendly car with a great big boot to put all the paraphernalia in it. The airing cupboard gets sorted. That was my one. I sorted that airing cupboard about 6 times before the baby came. The baby's room gets decorated. Bottles are maybe bought. Nappies are stocked. But nothing can quite prepare them for when the child or children come into their lives, whether it's a newborn or an adopted gift. Mary was ready. Mary said these words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." That was her preparation. Her eyes were fixed on God. There was nothing else she could do. It's kind of jumping ahead in the story, isn't it, to the second part of Advent. But we need to look ahead to be prepared for what is to come, even when we don't yet know it all. We see in part. One day we will see fully. As far as we can be, we are to be ready. The virgins with the oil for their lamps comes to mind. We are to expectantly wait for the second coming of Jesus and actively, it's important that we're actively part of preparing others too. That's our part, to prepare ourselves, but to prepare others. So then there's always has to be a how-to. There's no point me telling you all of this and saying, you've got to do this. Just go away and do it. Oh, it's done already. Thank you, Jonathan. We're to stay close. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. This is Galatians 5. I won't read all of it, but it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It goes on, Paul goes on to describe all the things which are of the flesh and contrary to the Spirit. All those things that will actually stop you or bind you up and keep you out of step with the Spirit. Have you ever done that with, I remember doing it with Dill when we were courting. I love that word. And we'd be walking along together hand in hand. It doesn't mean that we don't do that anymore. But I have this memory of trying to make my pace fit his pace. I was always slightly out of step because his legs are longer than mine are. Surprising. That's why I wear stilts, so that I can keep in step with Dill. No, that's not why. If you've ever had that experience of, there's a little bit of a skip and you have to adjust your pace, and that's what God wants us to do with Holy Spirit, is to keep in step with him, adjust your pace so that you're walking in time with him. Paul then goes on to say of the fruit of the Spirit that it's love and joy, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is that what you need to adjust? Is that where your pace needs to change so that you're in step with him and close to God? That was from Ephesians 5, 16 to 26. If you were here last week, you will have seen the picture that I showed of our grandson on his daddy's chest, hearing his heartbeat, staying that close. That's what God wants for you, is that you stay that close, that you can hear and feel his heartbeat. And if you're not that close and you want to be, then tell Father God, because he will draw you near, because he's faithful and he answers the cries of your hearts, our hearts. Secondly, stay thankful. In all things, in every circumstance, be thankful. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 21. Rejoice always. I love that. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. If you're holding fast to what is good, you're being thankful. If you're being thankful, you're holding fast to God, because he is good. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It's worth repeating. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Paul goes on, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Keep on giving thanks. It's not just one day. Thanksgiving is not just one day. A wonderful celebration in America that, and here, but Americans celebrate it wherever they are. Maybe, I don't know, I should ask Kelly, did you celebrate Thanksgiving? I celebrated my birthday on Thanksgiving, so I guess I gave thanks. But it kicks off the Advent preparations. So it's not just that one day, but God's calling us to a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Stay filled. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, 52. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's a going on being filled. It's not a once-off. It's not Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and completely changed the world. The power of God came and started the church. It's not a once-off. That wasn't a once-off. It's again and again and again. As people of God, we have to continue to be filled. I want to suggest something here that I've heard it said so many times, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit because we leak. Has anyone heard that? No, I don't agree with it. Well, I want to expand it rather. I don't think I leak. At least I don't think I leak. That's almost an involuntary, you know. If your wineskins are a bit dry, then maybe you leak. Maybe the stitching has come apart a little bit, and then you'll leak. But what you need is to have new wineskins so that you don't leak, so that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he keeps on filling you. He continually fills you. But it overflows. He overflows. And then you're poured out. And so then you need filling again. So that's, I submit that if you are leaking, maybe you need for your wineskins to be renewed. Stay ready. Then you'll be ready for the Lord's return. Ephesians 6:15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. To be ready is to stay in the word. I was speaking with a young mother yesterday. She's got a 2-year-old, or about 2.5-year-old little boy, and he's very, very busy. His father is very, very energetic and is able to keep up with him when his father's around. But for her, it's a little bit, she was a bit frantic. And she said that she's finding it really difficult to read her Bible. And before I even asked her, have you found a way around that? What are you doing to help yourself? She said, but what I do is whenever I have a quiet moment, which is usually in the car, I turn on my Bible app, and it reads to me. And I was like, yeah, that's just exactly what you need to do. She's hearing the word of God. She then said, sometimes late at night when I haven't actually had time or I haven't thought about it, I'll listen to it. And then I fall asleep. And she felt really sorry that she fell asleep. And I thought, isn't that wonderful that you're falling asleep to the word of God? Any means you have to stay in the word of God, do it. There are so many reading plans that you can get downloaded or sent to you on your phone. Most people are mobile savvy nowadays. Or you can have on your computer. There are so many things that are there to help us to stay in the word of God. Utilize them. Make the most of it. Because the word is rich and we need it for our souls and for our walk with God. So keep in the word. Stay ready. Not just for something that we anticipate in the future. Because we don't know, we don't see all. We can't anticipate everything. So what we need to do is stay ready. Stay ready because Jesus will come again. And he'll come like a thief in the night and take us by surprise. But if we're ready, if our lamps are always filled, then though it'll be a surprise, it won't be a shock. Stay ready for today, for every day, for our relationships with Jesus in the now and in this moment, depend on these things. Our reaching out to bring others into relationship with Jesus depends on us staying close. Staying thankful, staying filled, staying ready. And so I pray, Lord, that in these 4 weeks leading up to the celebrations of Christmas Day, for us, each one, to know your nearness. Come and renew us with your Holy Spirit. Infuse us with your word so that we keep ourselves in step with you, with our eyes fixed on Jesus and rejoicing in our salvation. Amen. If your wineskin needs renewing this morning, or if you need to be filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit, ask for more. If that's what you want to do, ask for more when you come to the communion rail. Ask God and ask me or one of the servers, and we will say a very quick prayer. We'll lay our hands on your head and say, come Holy Spirit, because he's always wanting to give us more. Then make your way back to your seat or over to the side chapel where the ministry team will pray for more. Amen. And so we can, I always get this wrong, we come to the peace.